new CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I feel it in my soul. I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Taco makes snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back. Welcome in. This is Country Roads Confidential at earsports.com, a Paramount podcast. I am Mike Sasley. Here today. Monday, March 11th, 2024, all by myself, Chris Anderson, out west, well-earned vacation. And to answer your question, yes, I am putting together the hot board in case he doesn't get here. Let me tell you, some of the names that we are including here, boy, exciting times. We're going to be okay one way or the other. Big names up top, version 1.0 would light your hair on fire. Some might say there's a wink, wink deal with a replacement in place. That's for another day. We're here to answer some questions. Today is Monday. That is always Q&A day on the website. Subscribers on the VIP side submit their questions. We get as many as we can. Scoop up the rest in a separate story. But since Chris isn't here, since I'm all by myself, that means half the words, half the work. I'm going to try to get through all of the questions today. Submitted on the VIP side yesterday. Thanks a lot for participating. Good questions. Ran a range of subjects, not just the predictable, but also understandable ones, given what's going on right now around basketball. Got some football ones in there. By the way, that starts spring practice, March 25. And we will get the head coach next week for his pre-spring question and answer segment with the media. We'll see if we could be more exciting here. So here we go. We're going to start right away right now. First question from Robbie 0210. Project a timeline on the hiring of a new basketball coach. All right, so let's back up for a second. On Sundays, when we post this thread on the message board asking for questions to prioritize things and to figure out what's really important and who wants to learn about what, I ask you to upvote your favorite questions. This one had the most upvotes, and it was the first question. I don't know if that's a coincidence or not, but I think obviously just the functionality of this search for a basketball coach has been and will be extremely interesting for people. This had the most upvotes. This was the first one. Let's get right to it. Robbie, hard to answer this question. How about that for a pin in the balloon to get going? But to be honest with you, this non-answer has to make a little sense. Not because I'm explaining it, but because for you all to cope, there is going to be some TBD here. This is going to land on somebody. Ideally, it's a very good basketball coach, and very good basketball coaches are successful. Successful basketball coaches at this time of the year can play deep into the month and perhaps even all the way into April. If West Virginia does not have a coach by the second weekend of the NCAA tournament, please do not freak out. It doesn't mean that 10 months of planning and preparation went for naught. It might mean that the coach is in charge of one of these 16 remaining teams. And don't forget, the NIT is still a thing. There will be teams still playing over there as well. You could be disappointed if someone's cutting down the nets that first weekend in April and you don't have a coach, because is West Virginia pulling a Final Four or a championship coach? I don't know about that. But don't forget, too, it could be an Elite Eight coach. It could have been a Sweet 16 coach, and it might take a week for this coach to catch his breath, presumably have a couple of interviews with a couple of schools, talk things over with the agent, with the athletic director, with the family, pick out a couple of schools, rank and prioritize them. It might take time. So this one here, I don't know. Here's what I can tell you. It's going to happen in a way that West Virginia is comfortable with, just because of that 10 months that we're talking about. And I do think that there will be an emphasis on being a little bit more expedient here, because are they going to get a high in-demand coach? Maybe. Are they going to get somebody who is out early in the tournament? Possibly. I just think that when the time comes and the coach or the coaches they like are ready, they're going to strike and they'll know who to talk to and, more importantly, what to say. I just can't believe that's not going to be in a package on the shelf and you just grab it and go when the time is right. So watch for them to, I think, this weekend announce it's open. Kind of huddle, maybe even shudder, and say, we'll talk to you when we have a coach. And like a couple weeks later, it'll be done. But just understand, like, there's certain landmarks out there in this process that West Virginia has no control over. And some of that is, when is my coach going to be available to actually talk? And if a guy's winning, he's not available. Again, this isn't college football where you walk away from a bowl game to go take over another team. This is different. Even NIT coaches aren't leaving to take another job. Next question. Crowtown Ear. If you were the new head basketball coach, is there anyone on the staff you'd want to keep around to help with the transition? Yeah. I would try my hardest to at least, how about this? I would really consider keeping Josh Eilert around. Controversial? Maybe. Hard for me to say that there are going to be five more qualified people to be an assistant coach on this team, though, than the guy who's been around in multiple capacities and was your head coach for a year. I don't think it's a pity thing either. Here's a guy who just knows the program and just think of everything he's been through for a year. I'm not saying you give this guy the job as an assistant because you feel bad for him. I think West Virginia took care of the "I feel bad for him" with a $1.5 million salary this year. So I don't think that's part of it. I just think somebody coming in is going to say, man, I need someone who knows the way around here. Somebody who is liked, somebody who can go to different parts of the administration with me, or different donors, different high schools, can contact different coaches to put together a non-conference schedule, all those things. And I don't know who you could find that'd be more qualified for that than Josh Eilert. The question is, does Josh Eilert want to move out of his seat and then work for the guy who takes his seat? I don't know, and I suspect not. I just think that another part of the situation is Eilert doesn't need to go be like the second assistant in like an Ohio Valley Conference team just because he needs a job. That's tough. So I would think hard about that one there. Other than that, couldn't tell you what I know or like about Alex Rudolph, Deshaun Butler, DeMar Johnson. Just don't get to talk to him, so it's really hard. We've had one interview in two seasons with DeMar Johnson. I think one with Deshaun Butler, one with Alex Rudolph, one with Jordan McCabe. McCabe, though, I would be interested in keeping him around. I'm not sure he's an assistant coach on my new staff, but could he be in the recruiting office? Could he be the portal guy? Could he be player development? He has a lot of connections. He can certainly click with players. He also came here to take a job that didn't really exist and they had to find one for him. That's a whole nother story, but that's kind of a sign of how crazy things were at parts of last year. There's a functionality for him, I think. Just got to find it. Next question. BitCruncher, when is Hotboard 3.0 coming out? Soon after I have incentive to publish Hotboard 3.0. Information right now is pretty much what it is. The one update we have that's not really an update because we had it in one of the earlier versions is that Greg McDermott, the Creighton coach, has definitely signed an extension. They're calling it a lifetime deal. He can retire there, whatever you want to call it. We'll see. Again, the reason he's on the list, and West Virginia is not intimidated by the contract extension. You can still talk to him. You might have to pay more now than before. Sure, the buyout, that could be prohibitive for West Virginia or for other schools. I don't know what the number is. Creighton being a private school, that would be hard to find, but I haven't even seen reporting out there anywhere either. The reason he's on the board, though, is that he's of a certain age and a certain stage in his career where he's pretty comfortable where he's at. Obviously, extension would indicate that. And if he's going to make a run at another high major job and a rebuild, it's probably soon. You know, this year, next year, after a small window of time, and the longer that window is open, the less time there is on the other end once you sneak through that window. So the sooner the better and things like that, as with most things. So I think he's still a candidate, if not for West Virginia, then for other schools. But also, he's obviously pretty content at Creighton, been there a long time right now. GD Full. Rem Baker gives you the decision power in hiring the men's basketball coach. Who are you going with? Anyone that you would consider that isn't on your hot board? All right, Mike's chickening out here. This is hard for me to answer. I don't want to get into these hypotheticals. I have, you know, processes. It's all very strange, like maybe committable padded walls of fences for me. I just don't like to do stuff like this because it clouds my head. Like, I don't do a lot of stuff online where I'm reading what reporting is elsewhere unless I hear something and I go search for it. I don't check out other lists and other boards. I'm not trying to figure out what the rumors are. It clouds my head. And I promise you, there's a whole bunch of like cardboard boxes and trunks up in my attic anyways. It's hard to navigate around there. If you start adding clutter, that's not great. And then things are really hard to find and share with you all. So I don't do a lot of this stuff for this because, hey, who would I like to see? Well, then I kind of create this confirmation bias in my head. Like, I want to be right. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to miss the obvious thing. I don't want to follow my hunches that might not be true. So I'm like water, you know? I just go where it goes. I'm like a leaf in a river. Just get in, chill, get some sun, and just float along and go where the current takes me. However, I did contact three people to answer this question for you. One is in the coaching business. One is in the administrative business. One is in the agentry business. Agentry? It's like falconry. Agentry. So one works in the agent business. One works in sports administration in college. One works in coaching. The coach. Coaching person. Oops. His answer? Sean Miller. Ooh. Just thinks that's a fit. Would leave Xavier. Can make the money. Would do it. The person in the athletic department business, Darian DeVries. I didn't think that was a great answer. I thought that was too cliche. So I actually went around this person's back and asked a colleague. And that person said, Darian DeVries. Yee. That'd be the Drake coaches cut down the Mets and arch madness for Drake. Third one. This is interesting. This came from the agent. Ryan Odom. Remember him? UMBC. Now at BCU. Utah State in between, successful. Young guy, has signatures on defense and offense. Haven't really included his name or anything. Haven't heard his name before. First year of BCU, I believe. Honestly, don't know. I think that's true, but I haven't researched him. But I thought that was an interesting name. That's one that we haven't really heard before. So I asked some people. Those are the answers. We'll see. Crawdaddy, 26554 of the 13 scholarships for basketball. How many of next year's scholarships are currently on the roster? You know what, man? You play fantasy sports like fantasy baseball, fantasy football, fantasy basketball. You have like keeper leagues. And then you have like some of the old school ones where it's just friends who've been doing this for, I don't know, 7, 10, 15 years. And they're just not as committed to it anymore. They got kids, they got family, job. You know, they show up at the draft and they prep for like half an hour before the draft actually starts. Whereas before you probably had whiteboards. You had a war room in like July because you were getting ready for the draft. Times change. And you just have every year you start over. This kind of feels like that. This kind of feels like your non-keeper league fantasy draft. I just don't know how many of these are keepers. And I wonder if a new guy coming in says, all right, talk me into this guy. Talk me into Josiah Harris. Talk me into Seth Wilson. And maybe yes, maybe no. And it might just be like, all right, I can get these nine guys on my wish list. I need four. Can I talk four guys in a stand? Something like that. It could be a weird number. Here's what we know. Raekwon Battle, Jesse Edwards, and Cook. They have no eligibility left. They're gone. We know that Kerr Creasa, Pat Sumnick, Quinn Slezinski walked on senior day. What does that mean? It means they're seniors, graduating. I had someone asking, why didn't Noah Farrakhan walk? Noah Farrakhan's a junior. So he hasn't graduated. He has time left on campus. So we know that three are gone. Mentioned them. We know three walked. I don't know where Kirk Reese is going to go, if not overseas, to make money. Could he do NIL? Sure. Is he going to make what he made at West Virginia? I don't know about that. And we're talking a lot of money he made here. Would West Virginia do it again? Might not have a choice. New coach comes in, says, I got to have that. Might do it. Slezinski probably needs a waiver, and that appears to be a question. I understand waivers are strange now and almost kind of incomplete, or I guess irrelevant would be the word. His is a medical waiver for a 6-year, like an extra year. It's not getting around the year in residence eligibility. He needs to prove that what happened to him at Iona last year was kind of not his fault and he can do it. So he played under the number of games. The injury that cost him the season occurred before the bar comes down, but he played in the game at the after the second half of the season. That's kind of a no-no for the NCAA. And then he re-injured himself and couldn't play anymore. So that one game after the second half of the season, that could stand in the way. Is the NCAA going to care? Do they really want to fight about this? I don't know. Maybe not. Does Slezinski want to play? We'll see. Here's the thing with Slezinski, though. He needs to get the waiver. Who knows how long that takes? And then if he wants to transfer, you know, who's taking him? What's the timing there? So if he does get it, does he stay here? Because that might be the road of least resistance. But does he want to? I mean, consider what this guy's been through. Like Louisville, Louisville, Iona, West Virginia. Go to somewhere else and a whole nother. Imagine the stories this guy has. He's with Louisville and Chris Mack. He's at Iona with Rick Pitino. He went to St. John's for like just a cup of coffee. I don't even think they got the coffee in the cup. I think they asked him if he wanted coffee and he said yes. And then he left. That's how brief he was there. He wasn't even there. Just committed there. Then he comes here. The Huggins things happens. I'm not saying I don't want Quinn Slezinski around my program, but if I'm a coach who's on thin ice and he comes knocking at my door, but hey, coach, you got a spot? I'd be like, no, we're closed. I like Quinn Slezinski, but man, I wonder if he's got like the monkey paw on his foot and things are bad luck. We'll see. And the other guys, listen, this is in the eye of the beholder. It just depends who comes in. Do you really want to have, you know, a Seth Wilson, a Kobe Johnson, Josiah Harris, Jeremiah Bembry, Ofri Nabe around? Boy, what are your favorite moments from those guys? Like, what's the coach is sitting down and saying, all right, can I get some Seth Wilson highlights here? I want to see what this guy has. Can I get some Jeremiah Bembry highlights and see what this guy has? How long does that take? We'll see. So the answer to the question is, I don't know, of course, but you want to set, we want to keep that over under 3.5, like over under 3.5 scholarship players for next year's team or on this current roster. I would go under. Chris and I have been using that 3.5 before. Let's stick with it. I would go under, which means you're looking at like 10 new players in the team next year. Good luck.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together, we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
Eternal Youth asks, has the coaching search narrowed at all? Actually, you know what? I want to skip ahead. I have a note here to skip ahead to another question from S. Curry WVU. He says to piggyback off of this one, that would be the players on the scholarship next year who are on the scholarship roster this year. He says, to piggyback off of this one, give me a percentage for each eligible player to return as far as a likelihood they're a Mountaineer. Here's where it's dangerous, and I can joke around about Slezinski being like bad luck, or I can say that, you know, what are your favorite moments of the Ofri Nave era? Fine. Need might be really important. It might tip the scale sometimes. Like, if they can't find a two guard out there or a combo guard, that might help Nave and it might help Kobe Johnson. If Josiah Harris doesn't want to leave and loves it here, that kid's done nothing wrong. And that's a good dude to have around. So that's fine. But if someone comes in who didn't like these guys in the recruiting trail, who can't believe they landed at a Power Five school, that's going to hurt. And this just all depends on who the coach is. You know, some coaches don't like players and some players don't like coaches or know not to like coaches because they've had people they know from AAU or high school or some other teams that they have heard bad things. Like, when these guys line up for free throws, what do you think they're talking about? Boxing out? No, right? Hey, this guy yelling at me right now, he's a jerk. Don't play for him. Stuff like that happens. Maybe not on the court, but it does happen off the court. So it's impossible. Like, I could say 50-50 for everybody and be right, because either they are or they aren't on the team next year. I don't know. But just think of all the dynamics involved and consider that for the players too. We're going to be judgmental probably. That's just the way we are when it comes to players leaving or staying. Oh, he can't leave because he can't go anywhere, or he can't stay. He's not good. Let him you know, pack his bags and drop him off at the bus station. We're going to have reactions like that. But just think that, like, there are people in here who got to make calculated decisions. And it's the players too. Like, what's better for me out there? And of these guys we're talking about, who's getting NIL money somewhere else? Like, are the Evanston Aces coming in and being like, man, I am paying for Seth Wilson? I have a hard time believing that. So it's not like they're leaving for better situations. It might just be playing time. It might be happiness. It might be being closer to home. And it might just be like, listen, I want to finish what I started here. So be open-minded about this stuff. It could be important. Anyways, back to Eternal Youth, his question. Has the coaching search narrowed at all, or are we still some time away from getting answers about the clear top targets and the communication WVU has had with them? Well, we're going to be a distance from clear answers because they're not going to be clear with this, and that's good for them. Bad for me. Good for them. They're going to try to keep this stuff quiet. I understand that. Like, if you think that Rem Baker's calling me and we're having 55-minute conversations at night, I got news for you. 25-minute conversations with the Ren. I'm kidding, of course. He's not talking. I don't even know who's on his little search committee because Ren doesn't want me sneaking into getting the backdoor channels with those people. So here's what we know. They do have a search committee in-house. There might be some third parties that are answering questions about candidates or being asked to give West Virginia some tips. I'm pretty sure John Beilein was before and is still involved in that capacity. They talk about the job. Hey, who'd be a good fit here? You know this place. You know college basketball. They talk to agents. They have a search firm. That stuff's happening. If what Rem Baker has always done is what he's doing right now, then he's got a search committee, and that small number of people, six people, let's say, they get a bunch of conferences. You get the MVC, the OVC, the MAC, the MEAC, the Sunbelt, and the Southland. You get the Patriot, the Ivy, the ACC, the Mountain West, the Big Sky, right? So they break these things up. And you come back and you look at who is going to be on your list. And you bring in a Rem Baker. Rem Baker says, yep, I got that guy, got that guy. Don't like him. Can't get him. Can't afford him. Buyout's too high. Get him. Circle him. Cross him off. Just does that. And this big list that everybody combines gets whittled down, whittled down, whittled down. I'd have to have a list of between 10 and 12 right now. And I think that you're going to see, as these meetings happen with this committee and they get together, that list is very malleable, but you're going to eventually, through repeated conversations, reinforced by results, you're going to have a solid top four. That's just inevitable. The time will come where they can have conversations, and you go and you meet those four people. They don't come to town. You might meet in an airport like in Houston or Pittsburgh or St. Louis or something like that. You might go to that person's campus. I don't think so. It might be neutral ground. And you have those conversations. And ideally, you get one of those four. If it doesn't work, then you've got that next tier that's probably, I would think, pretty closely bunched. It could be six, seven, eight more people. But the difference between number five and number 10 or number five or number 12, probably not great. And if you go over four, at the top of your lineup, one, you really got to wonder if you got this thing right. Do you start over a little bit or do you revert one, two steps? I don't know. But you definitely have to pay closer attention to that 5 through 10, that 5 through 12. I think that you're in that phase right now. You probably have a pretty clear 1 through 4, and then everybody closely bunched after that. And that's as clear as answer as I can give you. Do I know who's in that top four? No. Do I think it's Dusty May, Darian DeVries, Kyle Smith, and maybe one or two other people? Yes, I do. WV2NC, the Rem Baker Missouri talk has gotten quiet. Does that mean he's not being considered as their next AD? I don't know what to tell you about that. I just never heard it. I don't hear it now. You can consider Rem Baker to be a candidate for that job. Rem Baker has to consider himself to be a candidate for that job, and I'm not sure that's mutual interest at all. I'm not even sure there's one-way interest there. We just know a couple beat writers had him on a list, and we know how lists are, except mine, right? Sometimes they're just quick, and they're responsive, and they're not very informed and thus informative. Have you seen hot boards from Missouri lately? Is he still in there? I don't know. I am not concerned about that at all. Not that I need Rem Baker around to do my job. Nice guy. Cool shoe closet. I just don't worry about him leaving because that would be a headache for me right now. Imagine a coaching search and then an AD search. Yeah, no thanks. I'm not worried about that right now. I'll tell you this. I've heard him as a possibility for another job that I'm not worried about because I don't think it'll happen. I think it'll be an interconference filling of that position. But I've heard more of that than I heard about him in Missouri. Missouri is a tough job. Toxic is what I've heard from a couple of people. And you always kind of arch your brow and you hear that one particular word used a couple of times. Like, remember when I told you before that I'd heard that people were calling Jimbo Fisher a buffoon? That's a very specific word. Why had like three people told me that? Or was that just like the word being passed around in email chains and text chains? Same thing in Missouri. I've heard it's just a toxic job right now. Don't forget, Rem Baker has been here far longer than he was at Missouri. So if you're just like, oh my gosh, he spent time there, he's going to go to Missouri. Well, oh my gosh, he's been here longer. Why would he go to Missouri, right? So just all these variables that you're in your head or that you see people throwing out there, try to pick them apart sometimes. Roger, 247, do you think no matter who the new coach is and if defensive minded will understand what he's getting into with the way WVU doesn't get the defensive calls and that wasn't a foul in their league but will be in ours? This question goes on. Roger is probably going to get a TRO from some of the Big 12 officials. I joke, but he is very upset about the officiating. I've had some conversations with him around game threads lately. This goes on and on here with him and the point that he makes consistently. But the fact that he has to consistently make it would indicate that there is a level of frustration with the way West Virginia games are officiated. I just kind of roll my eyes and huff and puff sometimes about these things because it's hard for me to watch 10 guys and wonder what's going on all the time to pay a lot of attention to three officials. I used to be like that a lot, but there's nothing I can do. I know in the past there were officials when they showed up, and you know these names, when they showed up, I would be like, oh, this is going to be bad. And sometimes it was. And there were some times where I would look at the foul calls and it'd be like 8-2, and I would say, this is going to be like 9-8 pretty soon, and it was. And I'll say this, there was a Big 12 crew that did the MVC game yesterday. And the way that game was officiated looked nothing like what I watched those guys do in the Big 12 this year. A lot more contact, a lot more physical play was allowed. Now, is that game, is that conference as physical? Is there as much contact as in the Big 12? I would say no. But it was really interesting to me to see so many instances where I was like, well, there's a foul, and they didn't call it. Here's the foul, didn't call it. I can't believe that's not a continuation. I can't believe that's not a whistle. Like, it was almost 16 minutes before Indiana State had a foul. You sometimes don't go 16 seconds without a foul in some of these Big 12 games. So, again, that was a Big 12 crew in the MVC final, and it just looked like two totally different leagues, totally different games. So, my long about way of saying that officials are very subjective. And that's the best I can give you. Are they out to get just West Virginia? No. Are they out to get several teams? Maybe. I just sometimes try to pay attention to that. I got my hands full with everything else that's going on. Two teams, 10 players, two coaches, subs, decisions, all that. If I start thinking about officials, I'm going to miss. Going to miss a lot because those guys would give you certainly a lot to think Chestnuts, 4 Z's. You said Neil Brown interview on Ear Sports is off limits. What coach players could we see y'all interview? All right, so I got a bunch of junk for this already, and I don't particularly care because I would say it. So if I did care, I wouldn't say it, but we're just never going to get stuff like that. The off season is the off season. I can't explain why he gets to take a victory lap and does it on a podcast for a radio network. Good for them, man. I heard it was very informative and it made him come across as likable. I just think it's peculiar that West Virginia's athletic department is paid by a tier three provider for, you would think, exclusive access when the window is closed, and for them to let someone else have it for free is not great business. But that's just me. I would love to do it. I think it'd be great. And again, to have the interview while someone who pays for that doesn't have it, that's a triumph for me. If it's a triumph for me, it's a triumph for the person and the people who get the interview. So not jealous. I just think it's one of these things for years and years I've been like, that doesn't make sense. We're just not going to get assistant coaches or players. And that was before the NIL era where they want you to pay to talk to players. Like, they're just not going to let us get one-on-one stuff like that. That's the way it is. And that's the way it's been done for a while. And that is pretty much the explanation you're going to get a lot of times. Can there be exceptions? Probably. Unlikely, but probably. Do we ask? I would say probably not enough. Probably not enough. That's an honest answer from me. If I wanted to get something with somebody and I asked once or twice or 12 times, maybe the 11th or 12th would start a conversation. And then I would get an answer that that's yes. Who knows? But during the season, assistant coaches are off limits. You can ask for players. You might not get them. And that's just the way it is. In the offseason, it is discouraged. I would even say blockaded. But that's just the way it is. It's not a new thing. I've complained about this before. I probably whined about it before. I was much younger then. I'm not mature. I would have say I've matured, and I just understand the way it goes now. And couldn't tell you why. Couldn't tell you who we could interview. Could tell you that we maybe should try more, try harder, and that could be a me thing and not a them thing. Back to Roger here, a better question from him. I feel like he deserves a second swing at the pinata. Let's say you name a top three most likely next WVU coach tomorrow. What percentage do you think it would contain the next coach? Yeah, I'd feel pretty good if I was going to leave a top three out on the table, right? I wouldn't do it unless I thought. I just don't know who it is right now. So if I gave you a top three, man, it's just so long between then and now. Like, you might have liked Josh Schertz a lot more before yesterday, but he lost to Darian DeVries. You might have not liked Kyle Smith until you saw him on the hot board and you learned a lot about him and said, oh my gosh, this could really work. And you might like Kyle Smith, and if I told you something that people are talking about him and his player, not going to tell you because I think it's a good story if and when that time comes. An intangible that he and a few other people have, you might like him a lot more. But if he flames out in the Pac-12 tournament, what does that matter? Again, I'm not being mysterious or bashful about these things, but I just try not to talk myself into answers that I don't have. So if I felt good enough to give you a top three, which I don't, I would feel pretty good about every name that's on there. And I might tier it like 66, 20, 14. I don't know. But I just don't have that right now. It's just, I just try not to think about that until I have the answers. If I start giving you the answers and I'm giving myself the answers, it just confuses me. And again, it's confusing enough as it is. Florida Ear fan. Mike, take your reporter hat off and put on the hat of a WVU fan or just pretend to be Baker. Who is your first, second, and third coach as the new men's basketball coach? And why are they your choices? See, can I do this? Can I give you, like, man, I'd love to have John Beilein around again. Just a great guy, one of the best influences in my professional career. That's the guy who I'd like to have around. Does that mean I think he's going to be the next coach? No, I think he'd be great here. For a small number of years, I think he would come with a plan. And if you're worried about, okay, how does he transition power? I don't know. That guy's brilliant. He's going to figure it out. I'd be okay with giving him the keys and being like, listen, you drive this far, and when you think you got to get out and let someone else take over, that's cool. I think he's going to find a way to get me home. And my second and third coach, I don't care. I want Beilein. Now, is that realistic? No, probably not. I explain why I'm not sure that John's going to be in this time. So who's my one, two, and three? Oh, boy. Then I'm like, all right, I got to pretend to be Baker, but that might make me different than being a WVU fan. What Baker might think is best might not be what a fan wants. Like, a fan would like to have, like, let me tell you about Bucky McMillan from Samford. I talked to someone I, like, really trust and stuff like that. And he said that Bucky McMillan is like a poker player in that he stays up all night and just, like, designs cool stuff to do. And his offenses and his defense are different all the time. Like, you, and if you're playing people in a really competitive league, maybe not competitive, I guess, but if you're playing people in your league and you got to beat them, you can't have bad losses, and you want to have something for them in the tournament so you can get your one bid from the one bid league, that's a cool thing to have. But also, that's a guy who works really hard, who has ingenuity, who is going to be determined to succeed. But he's a head coach of Samford, and he hadn't been the head coach very long. Would that excite Baker? Would it excite fans? Very different. Hard one for me to answer. Again, like, shirts, awesome. Really fun to watch. Great story. The winningest, excuse me, second winningest Division II coach in the 2010s. Is that going to work for Baker? Or is that going to work for fans? Don't know. It's so hard. It just really is hard. And that's why, like, starting this hot board early, I think, is kind of a fun thing, because you've been able to track some of these candidates in real time and see how they're doing. L. Schaefer. From a personal perspective, do you enjoy hot board season? From the peanut gallery, it seems repetitive at times, although I'd imagine it's good for business. For the record, I do enjoy it. I think it's fun because it's been good for me to kind of get a head start on some of the candidates. And again, the Q&As that we've had, just like, not here necessarily, but just online about this stuff, it's been fun for me just because I've learned a little bit. I've also gotten a bunch of feedback from outside people who are reading this. And believe it or not, they do take note of fan response and say, I think this is a good thing, and this is a bad thing. Will this person's name fly? Will this person's name sink? Who knows? I don't mind it. There's nothing really going on right now because this basketball season is what it is, and we're still a bit away from spring football. I do like working and talking to people that won't talk to me in public, but will talk to me on the phone, you know, stuff like that. I think it's fun. It's good to reconnect with people I haven't talked to in a while. It's nice to have people share some things with me, to inform me, to tell me I got something right. Tell me I got many more things wrong, or maybe that I should think more this way instead of this way. That's all good for me. And you know, if you're right on some things, if you have some things that other people don't have, and you know it's good, which I feel pretty confident about, even better. It's more redeeming. And for me, it's a lot of fun to see people enjoy something that we do and we do well. And hopefully it works out where we look like we were pretty providential in the end, and we had this candidate or these candidates here. Doesn't always worry that way. Couple more here, we'll wrap up. Strikeout 92. Who on the current board, excuse me, who on the current roster do you feel you must retain if you're the new head coach, or you're starting brand new and emptying the entire cupboard? I don't think I must retain anybody. Scoreboard guys. I don't see that there. Would I like to keep Kerr Carissa around? I think if he's wired right and he wants to be part of this and be the guy that, like, led the Pac-12 assist and played a certain style, I think is going to work. That's good. But if I'm a defensive head coach, I'm probably going to feel differently. So it just depends on who you get in there. Who must I have? I do not have a person like that that is an option. I would think probably more strongly about Battle and Edwards, just because of their talent and the what ifs with them that maybe we never got to see fully scratched this year. That's not an option. GD Full, of the coaches you have listed on the hot board, are there any that you would not hire for whatever reason? Good question. Don't want to duck it. I've just heard that Pat Kelsey can be an acquired taste, and I'm not sure that would work here in this situation right now. Nothing against him. I don't know him at all, and it looks like he's highly successful, but that's the one thing I keep getting about him is that can he come in and make it work? I would say this too. Sometimes guys at that level are frustrated because they want what they cannot have, and if you drop that person who may be prickly, bit of a porcupine, bit of a cactus, into a situation that's more nurturing, that has resources, that has some luxuries that he does not have and no longer wants in a new spot, all of a sudden his disposition changes and he's a lot better to deal with. So would you completely exclude him in this conversation? I guess I just did. If I sat across from him at a table and I'm the AD and I start telling him things and his eyes light up and all of a sudden his mood becomes a lot better, perception does not meet reality, you could talk yourself into it. So again, dangerous thing to say. I think Will Wade might have been a no for me. Apart from that, I just don't know. They make the list because they're realistic, I think. Even Kelsey, I wouldn't say that what I've heard about him would be disqualifying. I think an AD's job sometimes is to take the prickly, take the porcupines, take the cactuses, and find a way to embrace them and find a way to make other people feel comfortable around them too. There goes Tavon. Oh, sorry, that was an easy one. He answered a question. There he is. What did we learn from our foray into the transfer portal the last 2 years? Going forward, What should we be looking for? And shouldn't we be looking for? Our dollars are finite, and we need to work in the portal with a lot more precision. Everything that you just said in form of a question should probably be your answer. Not ducking you here, but what have we learned? A ton, right? So what have you learned? I think if you ask the question, you know. Talent is a great thing to have. Talent is a difficult thing to mix. You might have steak, chicken, salmon, and shiitake mushrooms and pasta. Awesome dishes on their own. Throw them in a pot and let them boil. Garbage, right? Great ingredients, bad meal. So how many ingredients can you have? Well, chicken and pasta goes good. Salmon and pasta goes good. Steak and mushrooms is great. So sometimes you don't need all the ingredients. You just need the ingredients that work really well together. Recipe over ingredients. That's what I would learn going forward. What do you have to look for? What shouldn't you be looking for? Again, this is going to matter with the coach. If the coach likes to play inside out, you're going to need a big who can pass the ball. If your coach likes to play high ball screens, you're going to need a big who can set screens, roll the basket, have soft hands around the hoop. If you're going to play man-to-man, you're going to need an array of guards and wings who can pester teams. If you're going to play a zone, it'd be nice to have a big guy who can hang around the middle and dominate. If you're going to play pace and offense, you want to have guards who are like combo skills. If you're going to be 3-and-D on the wings, you're going to need people who can do that. It just depends. And I would try to space out your classes too. Don't get all seniors, don't get all freshmen. Try to balance things out so you have maturity, but also maturation. What I mean by that is guys who are mature, they can lead the way for the 1 or 2 years they're here. Maturation means guys who can be part of the program for a while. I still love you, Doug asks. Looks like the football team is pretty well stocked with returning starters and transfers found to fill needs. If they're still shopping, what post-spring transfers would head coach Neil Brown be looking for? Alternative question. Assuming Penn State will be fair in the opener, will the line be less or greater than 7? Here's the unique situation for Brown. They still need to cut players to get to 85. We've heard of a couple that may be gone, may not be gone, so they might be getting closer to that number. It makes additions very difficult. The fact that they got a lot of their work done and that you think, correctly, they're pretty well stocked, that probably means there aren't a whole lot of holes right now. You're probably looking at depth. You never send in an offensive lineman, a defensive lineman, especially if they've got years left to play. Quarterback, receiver, running back, great. Linebacker, better. I would feel even better, I think, if they had more people there. Secondary, I'm not sure there's room or need right there right now. So talent, depth, but where? That would probably mean if you lose players to get to 85 and then below 85, what holes were created? And the post-spring migration, that'll answer this question better than I can right now. So I think your point is well made. They are stocked. They're pretty even. Things are good. Will it be like that for a long time? No. So let's wait until see after spring. Better question, I think, here. Not better question. More fun, easier to answer. Assuming Penn State will be favored, will the line be greater or less than 7? Hey, listen, say what you will about James Franklin. People say a lot of things about him. I've heard this thing about how he's not very good in openers or he's not very good at the start of the season, that coming to West Virginia and playing a road game to start off will be difficult. Okay. How about in the month of September? James Franklin is 33-4 and 9-4 on the road. 9-4 doesn't sound great if you're West Virginia. Or excuse me, if you're Penn State, if it maybe sound a little bit more inviting if you're West Virginia. Last 7 years, Penn State is 25-1 and 9-0 on the road in September. This is gonna be more than 7 points. Don't think he could argue that either. Wrapping up here. Montana Ear with baseball kick. Actually, I want to save that one for last. Two questions from RVA Ear. Is the Bob Huggins shadow a negative for recruiting and hiring a new coach? No. Why? For recruiting. And hiring a coach? No, because they're steering away from it. You might have a problem if you got Chris Mack. I don't know how Chris Mack and Bob Huggins get along from the Xavier time in the past and also what he said about Xavier, but also Mack had to deal with the Rick Pitino stuff. Now he might have to deal with Bob Huggins stuff. That could be a negative. Got to sit down with him and talk to him. His second question, following up on three things with Weatherholt's hamstring injuries, will we see him again in a WVU uniform? He's in a uniform every game, man. That guy's really active. He's got his sunglasses on. He's coaching up on the bench. He's getting people hyped up. He's talking about at-bats before and after they happen. So he's in uniform. Is he playing? No. I've heard some things. Could be another week. Could be another 2 weeks. They got to be careful of that because you don't want him starting and stopping. He's got to start and be good and good to go. So don't rush. Get him back where he can be a fixture in your lineup and not coming in playing two games and then he's out for three more weeks because he pulled up lame running to first, or just legging out a single into a double. So I think you'll see him again. Not sure when, and I think you'll only see him when they feel that it is for the long run. Here's the final question from Montana Ear. This is a feel good, right? With baseball kicking in, spring ball optimism, women's hoops appearing dance bound, and a scrumptious looking basketball coaching search. Is this an exciting stretch of WVU sports or what? That's the question, or what? Can't answer that one either, because this is an exciting stretch of WVU sports. A lot happening, like a lot. And we haven't even gotten to the thing that's going to occupy most of our time. We kind of have, but obviously we don't have a whole lot to go with on that coaching search front right now. But you know what? A good thing I can tell you is it's still time available on the clock. 50% off an annual VIP membership. News is going to break. Going to have a basketball job open, coaching search, a whole bunch of nonsense going on outside of our website. We are non-nonsense inside our website. 50% off an annual VIP membership. Folks, that's $4.48 a month. Billed $53.70 per year. Double that. That's what you pay if you don't take advantage of this. And if all of a sudden you're on the outside looking in while all your friends at work or the gym or the baseball games are talking about what they've heard, you can well actually them. You can join the conversation. You could be the smartest man in the room, the quietest woman in the conversation, whatever you want. It's up to you, but just at 50% off. Low risk, high reward. The choice is yours. Until then, I am Mike Kazaza. Chris Anderson is on a hike out west. Maybe there's ayahuasca involved. I'm not sure. This is what I heard. And again, Hopward 1.0 for the new publisher of the website. Oh my gosh, the names. Hopefully we don't find out. We'll talk to you soon.